Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and on today's show, I'll be talking with author Julie Davis about her new book, Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life. We are going to explore ways that Jesus can go from being someone whose teachings you admire to the Messiah and friend with whom you actually have a close relationship. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is Julie Davis. You may know Julie from her popular blog, Happy Catholic, where she often integrates religious topics with popular culture because she believes she can find God everywhere and in everything. But Julie admits that there have been times when she felt like Jesus was a distant figure instead of the close friend and savior he's supposed to be. She therefore began a slow, prayerful, and meditative process to improve that relationship, and she is now sharing her reflections to help you do the same in her new book, Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Julie Davis. Julie, thanks so much for being on the show again.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, we're going to talk about your book, your new book, Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life, but I want to go back in time a little bit because you have an interesting religious journey in your life, because there was a time where you were not seeking Jesus in everyday life. So just talk about your own spiritual and religious background to becoming the happy Catholic blogger that you're currently known as.
Yes, I think... Wow, you know, I would have been shocked if you had told me when I was younger that I would be writing a book about seeking Jesus. That's true. Really shocked and appalled. I was raised by atheist parents who were not the kind of proselytizing atheists who wanted to make sure we were all atheists. They just didn't want to ever talk about God because it was kind of stupid. There wasn't a God. Mm-hmm. And I, therefore, was always, I think, a true agnostic. I was always seeking, going, how can you know one way or the other?
Yeah.
And finally, thanks to a series of circumstances where our oldest daughter wound up in Catholic school because a teacher said, you should be going to Mass every week. We wound up there every week, and I had nothing to do but think about all the stuff they were talking about. So I made a bet with God and said, you know, you should be able to tell me if you're there, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And, after about a year, because I had said I would like a new house,
mm-hmm.
and which now I know, you know, talk about taking care of fools. But so after about a year, I guess through the working of the Holy Spirit, though nothing was obvious to me, I suddenly said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. You go ahead. I'm going to believe you're there. I have no reason not to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And within 2 weeks, God, I don't think you could say paid off because God doesn't pay off,
yeah.
But God in his overflowing generosity said, I am right here. And he got me a new house, and it was a total shock and the beginning of my journey into knowing God exists.
Yeah. So belief came before fulfillment, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He took the first step in calling me to wonder. But I had to respond.
Yeah. I'm talking to Julie Davis. She's the blogger at Happy Catholic, and she has a book called Happy Catholic, but also a new book called Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life. And one of the things I liked about this new book is that you start off right away admitting your own struggles to experience that relationship with Jesus that seems to come easy to some people. You know, in your journey of faith, how did you realize there was a disconnect between you and Jesus as you were practicing your faith week to week?
I was actually going through a period of trying to read the catechism every day.
Mm-hmm.
I occasionally do this, and I never succeed, but I always get something good out of it. And this time, I noticed all these various great saints throughout history emphasizing their close friendship with Jesus and how important it is. And he's always there right by you. And I thought, I don't feel that. That's not right. And I know that feelings, you can't go by feelings. I mean, of course we have them and it's wonderful when God uses them.
Mm-hmm.
And intellectually, I totally believe in Christ as the Son of God and he redeemed me and all these things. And I'd had various experiences, but not that daily friendship that St. Augustine and Teresa of Avila were talking about this. And I thought, well, I should be trying for this. This is a goal. Why am I not closer? And my spiritual advisor had wanted me already to spend 20 minutes an afternoon just kind of reaching out to God. And so I started focusing on, I'm going to get closer to Jesus. And for me, I need a book or something always. So I started collecting various quotes from scripture and things that helped me kind of open that door.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting what you just said before about the saints talking about friendship with Jesus, because historically, at least in my memory, when you hear about people talking about relationship with Jesus, friendship with Jesus, that comes from more of a Protestant evangelical background than it does Catholic.
Yes.
So why do you think it's taken so long for Catholics to, you know, get on board with this friendship with Jesus when it is apparently so rich in our history?
Yeah, I don't know when it went away. You know, there must have been a period where, I mean, because we started off as friends with Jesus. He was here among us.
Yeah.
And that surely had to be communicated through the early disciples and, you know, then on through the saints. And it's just something about the Catholic religion these days, at least when I was coming into the church, there was more of an emphasis on the intellectual part. I don't know. It couldn't have been the Reformation.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just found it interesting that, you know, that the saints are so focused on this. And again, and I think it's really only come to the fore in the Catholic Church maybe the last 10, 15, 20 years, at least to a high level. I think it was always there to a certain degree, but at least to a high level. So, and well, one of the ways people can become friends with Jesus is to read Julie Davis's book, Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and Julie and I are talking about that new book. And, I mean, the disconnect that you're talking about, that you experienced, it seems like something people might be afraid to admit if they're Christians, because it makes it sound as if they're not good enough Christians. Why should people not be afraid to admit it, at least to themselves, if they don't have that experience of Jesus that you're talking about?
Well, none of us are perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us can do everything on our own. And I feel like if you're not admitting it, if you feel it deep down, but you just don't want to address it, maybe we're relying too much on our own power.
Yeah, yeah.
I was wondering, based on your previous question, I thought, you know, at one point St. Paul was talking to a certain community, and I wish I could remember which one, in his letters, and he said, you know, you don't have the power. You're not plugged into the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that if we, in the last 10 or 20 years, have gotten more plugged into the Holy Spirit as a church, that is also what's going to bring us in a greater friendship with Christ. Because Christ himself said, I'm going away to send you this helper who will help you pray.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you cite the importance of the Holy Spirit prayer in your own spiritual life in the book. So why and how did it become such an important factor to you?
Well, I went on a retreat where I didn't realize this was going to be the effect, but I kind of came out of the days of formation that followed it. It's a retreat where you go for a weekend and then you meet weekly for several months.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of came out of it going, wow, I suddenly love the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I will pray to the Holy Spirit several times a day and ask, you know, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and come to me. And it's like he's my best friend. And I realize that's odd because most people don't have that sense of connection.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you can't go backwards. God calls you how he calls you. My connection with my first conversion with God the Father, I now realize looking back.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This further carrying on is the Holy Spirit. And I just think it's so funny that Jesus, who we can relate to in so many ways, is the one that I find hard. But I've also had friends come up to me and say, you don't understand. I just don't feel close to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I mentioned this in the introduction, you know, Pope Benedict said he wrote his first Jesus of Nazareth book because of his search for the face of Jesus.
Yeah.
And those are all admissions. They're kind of maybe, and not in Pope Benedict's case, I feel, but in my friend's case, it was a desperate moment after a whole evening of talking.
Yeah, yeah. So
so she knew it, but she didn't know what to do about it. And that's when I said, oh, maybe other people are having the same problem. I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
And maybe that's also why we keep quiet about it. We don't want to, like you say, we don't want to go, well, yeah, I'm Christian, but I'm not talking to him like he's my best friend or anything. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell me, how do you intend for readers to use this book, Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life?
Well, I do want them to feel free to use it any way they want. So if they're more comfortable flipping it open and reading it, that's fine. But the way it is actually intended to be read is as kind of a gentle reminder of that we should listen. How do we pray? What are some things about Jesus we might not have realized or that we have forgotten or not thought about it in our own lives? And so the book is kind of tried to be organized in that way. There are sections such as beginning to pray, looking at Jesus' many faces, finding Jesus in the Our Father. And then each spread, so each facing page, the headline is split between the two pages so that you can read one page a day if you want as a devotional. But the page opposite it is also going to be related to the same subject and have quotes that may or may not speak based on what you've already read or prayed about.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, again, the sense I got was that this is not just a book to be read. It's after you read it, you think about it, you meditate on it, you pray about it.
Oh, yes, I totally missed your point. Yes, first and foremost, the whole point of the book is these quotes or scripture or whatever are intended to be something to reflect on that open you up to a place where God or Jesus can connect with you.
Yeah.
And my comments are only there because I gave a few pages to my husband who went, what do I do with this? And I went, oh, okay. Well, here's kind of how I think about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then here's a little prayer to kind of help open us all up.
Yeah. Yeah. In a way, you're like the retreat guide.
Oh, I guess so.
Yes.
Thank you for that. That's nice.
Okay. You're welcome. I'm Tony Ross. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and I'm talking to author Julie Davis about her book, Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life, Prayers and Reflections for Getting Closer. You just mentioned listening to God before, and it's one of the first pieces of advice you give in the book. And it's not always easy to do for a number of reasons. One, we live in a noisy world, so it's hard to be quiet enough to listen. But also, discerning God's will isn't always obvious. So how have you personally gone about listening to God? How do you make it happen, and what difference has it made?
Oh, well, the hardest thing, as you say, is just to sit there and kind of listen and not start telling God everything that he should be doing and how you'd like your life to be different. But what it's funny because sometimes there, you know, will be definite thoughts that pop in your head. And if they're a surprise, I know they're not my idea. That doesn't happen all the time. But a lot of times, you know, it's just gentle nudges, which is why it's important to listen. And I think that's part of the personal relationship, too. It's like your family or your friends, where if you're listening to them enough, you'll suddenly notice a trend or nudges in a certain direction of, oh, we haven't done this for a long time, or, oh, they really like that.
Yeah.
And those are the nudges that God also gives in the same way, or Jesus especially will give in the same way. And if you're talking to him openly enough about what am I afraid of, what do I hope for, and just kind of let it sit there without trying to prescribe what it is that you think should be done about it, eventually the nudges or the thoughts or even something you read in a book that speaks to you or see in a movie is going to all connect in the same way it does with your family. And you're going to go, oh, wait a minute. I feel like this is, I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think one of the, you know, speaking of the nudges, one of the things you just alluded to is that you probably have a better collection of great quotes from a diversity of sources than anyone else in the world. Even the secular ones point you in a spiritual direction. So how have you seen God speaking to you in these non-obvious ways, not just in the saints and in mass and in church and everything, but also in books and movies? I mean, the other day I was on your website and you had a quoted a passage from Gone Baby Gone, the book by Dennis Lehane, or maybe it was the movie version. I'm not sure, but
it was
still,
the movie. Yeah.
Okay. But still it was a relevant quote, and it seem to have a lot of depth and substance to it that we could apply to our lives. So how have you always seen these quotes pushing you in the right direction?
That is just part of being loving to read and loving to watch movies and things. And God, of course, uses what he gave me, that love of story. You know, I'm kind of created with it. And then he uses it. I have been surprised. This is part of the happy Catholic thing. Not always happy, but always happy to be Catholic.
Right.
And he's always there with, if you're looking, if you're paying attention, and maybe it helps that I'm a convert. So once I was converted and I was reading books going, oh my gosh, how did I never notice in Jane Eyre that prayer is a thread throughout this whole story? And a prayer is definitely answered, you know? And so God has always, for me, I guess, is that a charism? has spoken through printed word.
Yeah.
And I think for most people, they're going to find, you know, what is it that you naturally love? Some people, it's nature. They, and I also have that love too, which is reflected somewhat in this book. But God is going to speak to you in those ways. And so for me, I saw everything with new eyes, and then it just kept going. Like, I just reread Dracula, and oh my gosh, when I was reading it and thinking about it in that way, I thought, how could I possibly have missed this huge spiritual message? It is talking about good versus evil. It is talking about the supernatural is right in front of us and modern man shuts his eyes to it. It is talking about the Eucharist in the most reverent terms, and it uses the Eucharist to remind everybody at the end to behave in a sacrificial, Christ-like manner for their friends to defeat this evil.
Wow, I have never read Dracula, but you certainly made it intriguing now.
It is an amazing book. But that's the thing where it's, I've read it many times. It either wasn't the time for me to see it, or I just, you know, had my eyes opened.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of seek and you shall find, right? It was always there, you just didn't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'll be back in a minute with more of my interview with Julie Davis. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
While the media often focuses on the dark side of humanity, the Christophers believe in highlighting individuals who reflect our motto, "It's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness." By doing so, we hope to inspire others to be Christophers, or Christ-bearers, in their own lives. That's why we've prepared a news note called Stories of Modern-Day Christ-Bearers. You'll be able to read about people who've brought God's love, mercy, and truth to those around them. And maybe these stories will get you thinking about how you can do the same. To request your free copy of Stories of Modern-Day Christ-Bearers, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I'm talking today with author Julie Davis about her new book, Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life, Prayers and Reflections for Getting Closer. We've been talking about her love of quotes, some of which make their way into this book. And you just mentioned your love of nature before. So I want to cite an Elizabeth Barrett Browning quote that you use in the book, saying, "Earth's crammed with heaven and every common bush afire with God." So tell me, how does nature help you see and experience God?
Oh, I look at nature and I see a 3D art experience that God made for us to enjoy. There's a quote that Archbishop, do you say his name, Charles Chaput, did, where it's a friend of his who, when she was little, her father took her outside and showed her the stars and said, "God made the universe beautiful because he loves us." And to me, that articulated so beautifully everything I love about nature, all these creatures that are so totally different from us, and yet they're all have their own consciousness. God's keeping track of them. They have things to teach us if we think about them enough. And then you step outside and the wind is blowing and you're getting it. You're getting sensory. You're getting smells. You're hearing things. You're seeing birds. There's flashes of color. There's the sun being warm or gray skies that are still variable. And I think, wow, it's like he was like, here. It's you're living in entertainment. All this entertainment that we flood ourselves with, he's got it already.
Yeah.
We're just not even looking at it.
Yeah, you remind me of of something. I interviewed an author, Mike Massimino. He was an astronaut, and he was during a spacewalk, he got to look at the Earth from outer space. And he said, you know, it was a moment that struck him as a divine moment. He saw the Earth in a way he never did before, how it's almost like paradise, and we're surrounded by so much beauty that he was never even aware of. So it sounds like you've never left the atmosphere of Earth, but you see that beauty around you anyway.
Yeah, and it's one of those gifts, I guess, that it was about 6 months ago that I was walking around. I suddenly went, oh my gosh, we're in this 3D experience. And it's the complexity of how do you have something the same every day? The sun comes up, but it's different every darn day.
Mm-hmm.
It's this gorgeous variety at the same time.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you mentioned wonder before. It sounds like you appreciate the wonder and the mystery of the world around you now.
Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah. And I'm grateful for it.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking with Julie Davis. She is the blogger at Happy Catholic, and she also has written a new book called Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life, Prayers and Reflections for Getting Closer. I want to touch on another quote you have in the book, which I loved. It was from Father John LeBone, I believe it's pronounced, and he says, everyone wants the key to finding God, but there is no lock. So what kind of spiritual understanding did you gain from those words?
Well, and he was bringing it up because he said everybody wants one answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's everybody's favorite quote from the book so far. I'm going to have to tell him. He would just, you know, shake his hands and shake his head. But it's that idea that, for one thing, the church is wise, as we know. And the church gives us so many ways to pray and connect. But also, God knows us so well. There is no lock, and he meets us where we are. So we don't have to be afraid that we're not doing it right, that we're not talking to God right. If we're striving to do something differently, like, you know, me, my continual struggle is to talk more like I'm Jesus's good friend instead of, you know, oh, dear Lord, you know, more formally. But he's going to meet me there. And he does. You know, with little things that will flash at me, and I'll just start laughing, going, well, at least God's laughing with me, not, you know, at me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, going back to something you just said, it does seem to me that one of the maybe it's a problem in the church, but we want this one size fits all answer for how to evangelize or how to get to this, achieve this level. And the older I get, the more I see there really is no one size fits all answer. It's like the something that will work for one person will not work for a different person. Have you seen that in your own life, both in your own spiritual journey and maybe even in the people around you, how something can appeal to one, but it just something completely different needs to appeal to the other person?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, I can't tell you how many people have urged me I should be praying the rosary once a day. And, God bless me, please, because I've tried.
Okay.
It's just not going to work for me. Or if it does, I'm not praying it the way that they think I should.
Because
I will, you know, say the prayers, but be thinking about something else altogether than the mysteries of the rosary.
Yeah.
And I don't have the devotion to Mary that a lot of people have. She's the greatest saint. Totally appreciate it. I know she's my mother. Mm-hmm. Maybe after I get close enough to Jesus, if that ever can happen, I'll work on Mary. So for me, those are some of the things I come up against again and again. And then you have my husband, who he doesn't like to read books like this. He doesn't have that kind of, he just doesn't express himself spiritually the way I do. Yet I do not know a more good, solid Catholic that when I'm saying, well, this doesn't seem right, and he'll just say something very straightforward that epitomizes or that sums up the teachings of the church in two sentences, and he's right.
Okay.
So he's kind of like, what do they call it? You know, the man in the pew.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And he's got a lot of wisdom that way.
Right. And I never see him praying. I know he does.
Yeah.
Because he's mentioned it when I've gone, we are married, so
yes,
know.
Yes, sure. So yeah, so there even in your own house you see a lot of people. And I know you dedicate the book to your daughter, to one of the people is your daughter? Because I know you mentioned Rose, you mentioned her, right?
Oh, I thank her, yes.
Thank her,
Rose,
okay.
Yeah, she read the whole thing and gave me some good feedback. And she's more like my husband. She's going to be more reticent about everything. So when she liked it, I was really pleased.
Yeah.
And she said it really helped her during some times of struggle. When she'd sit down and say, oh, gosh, I told Mom I'd read this. And she was going through, you know, some job problems. And she went, oh, right, God does care. He's watching out. There's probably, okay, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I'll get through it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that made me feel good.
And like you just mentioned before about the way you're talking to God, is it your nature to be that almost overly formal reverence, or is talking to a friend the natural approach that you take?
My problem is when I start talking like I'm talking to a friend, I'm more like Teresa of Avila going, oh, yeah, that's why you have so few friends. You know, I'm back talking them, or like Martha going, oh, well, Mary's not helping me.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed we don't have dinner on the table? I kind of forget that you can,
mm-hmm.
maybe, because the liturgy is more formal.
Yeah.
And I do relate to a lot of that. And maybe because I like quotes so much, I tend to think in other people's words.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting observation. So, and it's basically like you said before, reading a book, even reading something like Dracula seems to be a prayerful experience for you, whereas it, you know, may not be for other people. That kind of prayer that other people find in the rosary, you find that sustenance in reading books.
Exactly.
I want to thank Julie Davis for joining me today to talk about her book, Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life. We are out of time, but we are going to keep talking and bring you the rest of our interview on an upcoming episode. Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Most of us are big on planning and control. We want to map out our next move, our next day, and even our next year. But the unexpected will likely happen to all of us. A health crisis, a job loss, or the death of a loved one can throw us onto an uncharted path and shake us to our core. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Reinvent Yourself to Find Success. It shares the stories of people who have endured a crisis and come out on the other end with new opportunities and a fresh perspective that left them feeling blessed and grateful. To request your free copy of Reinvent Yourself to Find Success, send an email to radio@christophers.org. Or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.